RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news. News from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We will continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Listener's Mailbag. That's our program for today, listener. And now let's stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Japan is potential investor for Indonesia in 2016. Marines deployed to outer islands. Now the news in detail. Indonesia, which is intensively carrying out development to advance its economy, needs a lot of funds to develop its infrastructures that are required to facilitate development in various economic sectors across the country. In developing its entire planned infrastructure, Indonesia requires a total financing of around $360.5 billion. The government, however, has not enough funds to finance its projects. It needs to cooperate with the private sector and invite foreign investors. Therefore, Indonesia is now actively seeking investors from overseas. One of the foreign countries considered to be potential for investing in Indonesia is Japan. In 2016, for example, Japan is considered to be a potential source of foreign direct investment. The head of Indonesia's Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, Franky Sibarani, stated that Japan will become a source of foreign direct investment or FDI in 2016. To maintain a positive trend in Japanese investment, BKPM officials plan to visit Tokyo, Japan, to promote investment cooperation with the local trade chambers. Japanese companies have already received principal permits of up to $5.7 billion. With Japan, Indonesia will cooperate in the development of infrastructure such as seaport, airport, railway tracks, and other projects. The Indonesian Navy dispatched on Friday 195 members of Marine Corps to Sebatik Island in East Kalimantan to help patrol the border in the area. The personnel will join the Ambala 20 Task Force and Outer Island 18 Task Force, the Navy said in a statement. The Marines will stay there for 9 months. It was stated by Marine Corps Deputy Commander Colonel Bambang Sutrisno bid farewell to the personnel in a ceremony at the Marine Corps Training Ground, Sidoarjo District, East Java, recently. He added, during the assignment, they must prevent human trafficking, slavery, theft of marine products, illegal logging, drug smuggling, piracy, and terrorism. The outermost islands can be entry or exit points for such activities. In both areas, the personnel will be stationed at strategic posts. Bambang said the personnel dispatched for the mission had been selected by the Corps' top brass. Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution said the government expects to announce the 8th Economic Policy Package on Monday, December 21, 2015, of the Economic Package preparation to President Joko Widodo as anticipated. Darmin refused to specify the content of the package. The former Bank Indonesia governor asked journalists to wait for the 8th economic package to be launched. Last week, the government announced the 7th economic package to prevent layoffs in labor-intensive industries. The package covers income tax incentives, tax allowance for investment, and facilities for land certificate application to boost people's economy. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. At least three people were killed and one was missing in a landslide that hit Guntur Macan Village, Gunung Sari Subdistrict, West Lombok District, West Nusa Tenggara Province on Saturday. Putu Cakraningrat of the Mataram Search and Rescue Office said a search and rescue team was dispatched to look for the missing victim. The four victims, aged 13, 19, and 90, were members of one family whose house was buried by the landslide while they were asleep. Another member of the family, identified as Saharudin, 70, survived the disaster. Vice President Yusuf Kala recently has asked every vehicle of online-based ojek or motorcycle taxi driver to be routinely inspect the vehicles, because with the online operation model, there is no control from the operator for security issues. For the record, the Transportation Ministry has banned the operation of the country's rapidly proliferating ride-hailing applications, as it claims they do not fulfill the requirements for being public transportation. The General Director of Land Transportation, Joko Sasono, said that the ministry had issued a prohibition letter signed by Transportation Ministry Ignatius Jonan on November 9th. Afterwards, the ministry revoked the ban after President Joko Widodo slammed the Transportation Ministry's decision. President said on Friday that ojek were abandoned because the public needed them. President also said that regulations could be adjusted until the government could provide good mass transportation. Yusuf Kala also said that every technology and regulation should be dynamic to follow the development of the era. The last item, the 105,000-hectare Sangkulirang Mangkalihat Karst in East Kalimantan has since May this year been listed as one of the five most likely candidates to be declared a World Heritage Site by the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. As reported by the Jakarta Post on Saturday, East Kalimantan Environmental Agency head Riza Indrariadi said that if it was selected, the Sangkulirang Mangkalihat Karst would be the first World Heritage Site in Kalimantan, adding that the listing would attract the world's attention and increase the region's access to development aid funding. With the World Heritage stages, he said, the karst would likely become a tourist attraction that would in turn improve the economy of the local community, similarly to what happened to communities around the Borobudur Temple in Central Java. A biological expedition conducted in 2004 by the Nature Conservancy and the Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI had identified 120 bird species, 200 insects, a giant cockroach species, 50 species of fish, and 400 flora species in the area. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Japan is potential investor for Indonesia in 2016. Marines deployed to outer islands. That was the news.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Rahma, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Yogyakarta. Head of Yogyakarta Tourism and Culture Service will soon open complaints and information posts in Malioboro during year-end-long holiday to facilitate tourists who do not feel satisfied with service they receive in the city. According to the head of Yogyakarta Tourism and Culture Service, Eko Suryo Maharso, he focuses on the complaint post in Malioboro because it still becomes the main tourism destination in Yogyakarta. The post is planned to open on Monday, December 21st, until early 2016. Tourists who feel dissatisfied, like paying food too expensive or getting in trouble while parking, can report it to the post. He hoped that all complaints can be handled immediately so that tourists still feel comfortable when visiting Yogyakarta in the long year and holiday. Besides, in the post, tourists can ask any information related to various tourism destinations in the city of Yogyakarta. Eko predicted there would be around 500,000 to 600,000 tourists visiting Yogyakarta during year-end long holiday. Still from Yogyakarta, new ride at Taman Pintar, namely Dino Adventure, was officially opened in the 7th anniversary of the tourism destination and the science center in Yogyakarta. Head of Taman Pintar Management Office, Yunianto Dwi Sutono, said Yogyakarta last Wednesday that the new ride becomes a birthday gift for Yogyakarta people to support the function of Taman Pintar as a tourism place and also science center. Dino Adventure Paleontology Park is located in the third floor of Gedung Kotak Building, or right next to Four Dimension Theater. Visitors can access the new ride by buying a special ticket. There, they can take adventure to Jurassic era and meet puppets of dinosaurs, which are believed to be alive in their era. Visitors can see directly five types of dinosaurs, namely Tyrannosaurus or T-Rex, Styracosaurus, Parasaurolophus, Allosaurus, Stegosaurus, and Diplodocus. To go around the 800-meter square park, visitors use a small train which accommodates 20 people. According to Dwi Sutomo, every dinosaur is equipped with robotic technology, so they can move. In addition, sound effect in the park and special lighting make visitors to be in a dinosaur era. The last news comes from Banyuwangi, East Java. Around 200 fish apartments were drowned in Bali Strait last Wednesday by Samudra Bhakti Fisherman Group in Pantai Bangsering Waters area, Wongsorejo District, Banyuwangi Regency. Sukirno, head of the Fisherman Group, explained that fish apartment is assistance from East Java Marine and Fishery Service. The fish apartment consists of hollow partition with square shape arranged in multi-level. It has rooms like an apartment. The apartment is used for fish shelter, to stick egg, and for baby fish breeding. According to Sukirno, fish which mostly inhabit the apartment is Acropora coral reef fish. The fish apartment sinking has been done since 2011. Last Wednesday was the fourth one. Sukirno revealed that there have been hundreds of fish apartments in Bali Strait. He hoped that Bali Strait, especially Pantai Bangsering, will become heaven for fish because local people strictly prohibit fish catching by using bomb and fish poison. Well, listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with December 20, 1945. Otto Iskandar Dinata dies. Raden Otto Iskandar Dinata, nicknamed Otista, was born on March 31, 1897 and died on December 20, 1945, was an Indonesian freedom fighter for the country's liberation from Dutch rule. He is a national hero. In the period before independence, Otto served as vice chairman of the Budi Utomo Bandung branch in the period 1921 to 1924, as well as vice chairman of Budi Utomo Pekalongan branch in 1924. Otto was also a board member of Volksraad, or the People's Council, formed at the time by the Dutch East Indies period 1930 until 1941. During the Japanese occupation, Otto led Cahaya newspaper from 1942 to 1945. He later became a member of BPUPKI, formed by the Japanese occupation government as institution that assisted the preparation of the Indonesian independence. After the proclamation of independence on August 17, 1945, Otto served as Minister of State in the first cabinet of the Republic of Indonesia in 1945. He was in charge of preparing for the formation of paramilitary BKR from various troops spread all over Indonesia. In performing his duties, Otto is thought to have caused discontent in one of the troops. He was kidnapped by a group named Laskar Hitam, or Black Troops, then went missing and presumed killed in Banten on December 20, 1945. Next is something from December 20, 1999. Macau is handed over to China by Portugal. The transfer of sovereignty of Macau from the Portuguese Republic to the People's Republic of China, or PRC, occurred on December 20, 1999. Macau was settled and governed by Portuguese merchants in 1535 during the Ming Dynasty from 1368 to 1644. Portugal's involvement in the region was formally recognized by the Qing in 1749. The Portuguese governor, emboldened by the First Opium War and the Treaty of Nanking, attempted to annex the territory, expelling Qing authorities in 1846, but was assassinated. After the Second Opium War, the Portuguese government, along with a British representative, signed the Sino-Portuguese Treaty of Peking that gave Portugal sovereignty over Macau, on the condition that Portugal would cooperate with efforts to end the smuggling of opium. After the founding of People's Republic of China in 1949 and its resumed membership at the United Nations in 1971, Foreign Minister Huang Hua of China appealed to the UN Special Committee on Decolonization to remove Macau and Hong Kong from its list of colonies, preferring bilateral negotiation ending in a return of the territory rather than the expected independence outcome. The authoritarian right-wing government of Portugal was expelled by the Carnation Revolution, a coup that occurred in 1974. Within 1 year, the government of Portugal withdrew troops from Macau, withdrew recognition of the Republic of China or Taiwan in favor of the People's Republic of China, and began negotiations for the return of Macau. Four conferences from June 1986 to March 1987 resulted in a Sino-Portuguese joint declaration on April 13, 1987 and the transfer of sovereignty on December 20, 1999. Macau is granted a high-level autonomy and the retention of its legal system by the Macau Basic Law. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Mirahma, entitled Election of Corruption Eradication Commission Chairman for Period of 2015-2019. Listener, after Committee of Corruption Eradication Commission, or KPK, chairman candidate selection managed to choose 10 names of KPK chairman candidates to be presented to the House of Representatives, or DPR, finally Commission 3 of the House conducted fit and proper tests to the 10 candidates through two stages of selection. The first stage is selecting 5 names out of 10. In the second stage, one name is selected to be KPK chairman for the period of 2015-2019. Head of Commission 3 at the House, Aziz Syamsuddin, revealed that in the second stage of voting, Agus Raharjo beats 4 other candidates with 44 votes. Meanwhile, Basaria Panjaitan is in the second position with 9 votes. Saud Situmorang gets 1 vote. 2 other candidates, Laode Muhammad Sharif and Alexander Marwata, do not get any vote. According to him, the decision was taken through voting mechanism, followed by 54 members of Commission 3 at the House. Therefore, position of KPK chairman for the period of 2015-2019 will go to Agus Raharjo. In the meantime, Head of Presidential Staff Teten Masduki said the government respects the chairman of Corruption Eradication Commission selected by Commission 3 of the House. Teten Masduki added that KPK new chairman bears a big hope of people on the corruption eradication. He also assured that the government is committed to strengthening KPK. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairman of Commission 3 of the House, Desmond Junaidi Mahesa, denied the reason that some KPK chairman candidates are not selected because of background. According to Desmond, the set target is giving balance to action and prevention. Desmond said the formation of the selected 5 KPK chairman candidates are the best choices, but they are not good yet. On the other hand, coordinator of Indonesia Corruption Watch, Ade Irawan, is upset with the composition of the selected KPK chairman candidates. In his view, they are not the best names to continue fighting to eradicate corruption. Instead, several names, according to him, supported the revision of Law No. 30, year 2002, on KPK. Head of Commission 3 at the House, Aziz Syamsuddin, said the result of election in the second stage will be brought to plenary meeting for approval before the closing of the second session of the House for the period of 2015-2016. Agus Raharjo will lead Corruption Eradication Commission along with 4 deputies. They are Basaria Panjaitan, Saud Situmorang, Alexander Marwata, and Laode Muhammad Sharif. Well, listener, that ends highlight of the week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Weekend Review, featuring several events that happening during this week. Stay tuned. We start from Sunday, December 13th. Presidential Chief of Staff Teten Masduki said that President Joko Widodo would never allow the amendment to the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK law to weaken the Anti-Graft Commission. The President can opt to cancel the discussion if there is a plot to weaken the KPK. Teten reiterated that the KPK revision was aimed at reinforcing the Anti-Graft Commission instead of weakening it. Earlier in October, the plan to revise several articles of the KPK law was pitched by the House of Representatives. Reports said that the KPK law revision was a part of a deal between the government, represented by Justice and Human Rights Minister Yasona Lawli, and the House to pass the tax amnesty draft bill. On the same day, Sunday, several German companies have expressed interest to invest in automotive component manufacturing industry using aluminum as its raw materials. It was said by State Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno in Hong Kong on Sunday. The minister said one of the companies is Rheinmetall Land System. Rheinmetall Land is currently building cooperation with PT Pindad to produce defense and security equipment. PT Pindad is cooperating with Rheinmetall Land System in overhauling, upgrading, servicing, maintenance and modification of a number of military combat vehicles. The cooperation covers several products, such as MBT Leopard 2RI. On Monday, December 14, 2015, Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi has said Indonesia trained 1,338 Palestinians as part of its capacity-building programs organized through the new Asian-African Strategic Partnership between 2008 and 2013. The capacity-building programs covered various fields including small and medium-scale businesses, financial and taxation service, microfinancial service, agriculture, regular diplomatic training, archives, health and energy, as well as women's empowerment, democratization and good governance in other fields. In addition, Indonesia has also been taking active part in the Conference on Cooperation among East Asian Countries for Palestinian Development and hosted it in 2014. It is also planning to attend the next meeting to be held in Japan next year. Still on Monday, Indonesian government welcomes the plan to hold bilateral meeting among Indonesia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Defense with the Japanese. The meeting is planned to be held in Jakarta on December 17th. It was stated by Indonesian Vice President Muhammad Yusuf Kalla in his remark on the celebration of Japanese Emperor Akihito's 82nd birthday Monday in Jakarta. According to him, such meeting shows an increase of both countries' political and security cooperation.
Berkaitan dengan hal tersebut, kami menyambut baik.
Regarding to that matter, we welcome the 2+2 plan forum between foreign affairs and defense ministers to be held next December 17th. This shows an increase in political and security cooperation. Yusuf Kalla added, Japan is an important partner for Indonesia, while expressing his gratitude on Japanese investment expansion in Indonesia. Yusuf Kalla mentioned that Indonesian government remains committed to maintaining investment climate within the country. On the occasion, Yusuf Kalla also congratulated Japanese Emperor Akihito's 82nd birthday and hoped that the relation between Indonesia and Japan will come with positive benefit for both countries as well as regional and global communities. On Tuesday, December 15, 2015, Indonesian President Joko Widodo has urged the House of Representatives Ethics Tribunal, MKD, to take into account the public's aspirations while arriving at a decision on the Freeport audio recording case. It was stated by the President to members of the press after attending the presentation of the Public Corporate Information Openness Award in Jakarta Tuesday. President Joko Widodo remarked that he always monitored the hearings of the MKD, which had attempted to uncover whether House Speaker Setia Novanto had violated the Code of Ethics concerning his recorded statements on the work contract of copper and gold mining company PT Freeport Indonesia. Still on Tuesday, the International Labour Organization ILO stated home workers in Indonesia face low pay and long working hours as they are employed in informal work arrangements. Labour laws and national statistics, which do not include specific provision on homework and limited access of home workers to social and legal protection, have aggravated the situation. ILO in Indonesia Deputy Director Michiko Miyamoto said on Tuesday that despite their important roles in a global supply chain, home workers are still not recognized as workers in Indonesia. To promote decent work for home workers in Indonesia, the ILO is set to hold a national seminar titled Promoting Decent Work for Home Workers in Jakarta from December 16 to 17. The seminar is aimed at increasing understanding on issues faced by home workers through a presentation of research findings and sharing of experiences. On Wednesday, December 16, 2015, one of the factors hampering economic activities at Indonesian port is the inordinately long time it takes for the imported goods to be released from the container terminals, At Tanjung Priok Seaport of Jakarta, for example, the waiting time is around 8.9 days before the containers are released, as clearance procedures are complicated. Since the beginning of this year, the government of President Joko Widodo has set a target to cut this waiting time to an average of 4.7 days only. Still on Wednesday, the Indonesian Foreign Ministry will intensify economic diplomacy to ensure food security at bilateral and international levels in 100 export meeting to encourage food export, which was held on Wednesday, December 16, 2015, in Jakarta. Indonesian Deputy Foreign Minister A.M. Fahir said, food security is a crucial issue for Indonesia and the international world. He estimates the world need about 50% more food by 2013, in line with global growth which reaches 8 billion people. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs encourages international cooperation in the field of food security. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs encourages international cooperation in the field of food security. A.M. Fahir explained, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has been doing many initiatives to improve food security. This initiative include Indonesia as coordinator of the G33, which is actively promoting the issue of food security, rural development, and job security at the World Trade Organization, WTO, to protect small farmers from the negative impact of the influx of cheap agricultural import products. On Thursday, December 17, 2015, Indonesian President Joko Widodo said he respected any decision on the violation of the ethical code involving Setia Novanto, who recently resigned from the post of House Speaker. Speaking in Jakarta on Thursday, President noted that so far he had no personal problem with Novanto. He, however, affirmed that he had not communicated with Novanto. Novanto tendered his resignation as House Speaker on Wednesday night after the House's Ethics Tribunal, or MKD, voted that he was guilty of violating the ethical code. Still on Thursday, Vice President Yusuf Kalla has instructed that documents related to the proceedings involving Setia Novanto over the extension of PT Freeport contract must be submitted to the legal authorities. Speaking at the Vice Presidential Palace Thursday in Jakarta, Yusuf Kalla opined that following Novanto's resignation, his political issues have been solved, but the problem relating to his legal process was still far from over. On Friday, December 18, 2015, Human Solidarity has become a moment to change International Human Solidarity Day. Is annually commemorated on every 20th of December. In Indonesia, it is adopted to become national social solidarity. It is also expected to become a moment to improve the national condition and issue collectively. This was said by Director of Pioneer Heroism and Social Solidarity at Social Ministry, Andi Hanindito, to RRI World Service. He said that National Social Solidarity Commemoration in 2015 is only internalization, but for 2015 commemoration, it is to improve national issues.
Agendanya yang pertama adalah agenda utama.
The first agenda is for social solidarity. It is to observe business people and regional governments so that they can be integrated to jointly to do activity. Secondly, it is for water revolution for humanitarian. So the problem between water and human life must be reviewed, both the exploration, use, and its management. The last point is propaganda. The movement is like greeting through Indonesian sharing, such as One Day, One Care. Moreover, Andi Hanindito also said there is another agenda, such as strengthening civilians' rights by giving marriage certificates and birth certificates. He said that there are 53 million people who do not have birth certificates. They are Indonesian children from 0 up to 18 years old. He expected that the National Solidarity Day must become a hope for all, become a hope for all Indonesian people to improve their living quality. Listeners, Listener, that was the weekend review.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesia, which is intensively carrying out development to advance its economy, needs a lot of funds to develop its infrastructures that are required to facilitate development in various economic sectors across the country. The Indonesian Navy dispatched on Friday 195 members of the Marine Corps to Sabatik Island in East Kalimantan to help patrol the border in the area. Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution said the government expects to announce the 8th Economic Policy Package on Monday, December 21, 2015, of the Economic Package pre-provision to President Joko Widodo as anticipated. Darmin refused to specify the content of the package. At least 3 people were killed and 1 was missing in a landslide that hit Guntur Macan Village, Gunung Sari Subdistrict, West Lombok District, West Nusa Tenggara Province on Saturday. Vice President Yusuf Kala recently has asked every vehicle of online-based ojek or motorcycle taxi driver to be routinely inspect the vehicles because with the online operation model, there is no control from the operator for security issues. The 105,000 hectare Sangkulirang Mangkalihat Karst in East Kalimantan has since May this year been listed as one of the 5 most likely candidates to be declared a World Heritage Site by the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO. That was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin Program. For feedback about the program, you can send us email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. You can also send a letter to PO Box 1157, Central Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Listener, coming up next, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'll take you to Kalise Beach in Palu, Central Sulawesi, to see the beautiful beach there. So stay tuned at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides through the shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast via www.voi.co.id. Palu, which is located in the province of Central Sulawesi, has many amazing sites. One of them is Talise Beach, situated on Raja Moli and Cutmutiam Roads, East Palu District. Talise name is taken from the Kaili language, the language of Kaili tribe in Central Sulawesi, which means ketapang. This is because there are many old ketapang or Talise trees at this beach. So, this beautiful beach is named Talise Beach. The beach is just 2 kilometers north of the city of Palu. It is now one of the tourist destinations in Central Sulawesi. Because in addition to its easy accessibility, it is considered as inexpensive for there is no admission fee. The scenery offered at Talise Beach is indeed quite beautiful. Here, visitors can see the expanse of the bay and the mountains, which are very exotic. Visitors can also join water tourism activities such as swimming, windsurfing, diving, fishing, and many others. In addition, Talise Beach is now equipped with a magnificent bridge and become the new icon of the city of Palu. If you are in the center of Palu City, it only takes about 5 minutes to get to the Talise Beach. Arriving at the beach, you can directly enter and enjoy the beach, which stretches from the town of Palu until Donggala District.
If you visit the beach in the morning before the sun is shining, you will enjoy the beautiful horizon and exotic blends with nearby Mount Galisi. Although the beach is famous for its beauty, but a visit to Talise Beach during the day is considered less appropriate. This is because the weather in Palu is generally scorching hot and the wind is blowing hard at around 12 noon. But the beach is very convenient when visited in the afternoon, because tourists can witness the beauty of the sunset while enjoying local snacks and beverages such as fried bananas, bananas, epe, corn, tea or coffee. In the evenings, there are also many tourists come to this beach. They usually just sit enjoying the food sold along the beach while watching the beauty of decorative lights that had been installed on fishing boats moving here and there in the middle of the beach. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder Today featuring Talise Beach in Palu, Central Sulawesi. When you visit Palu, take time to enjoy the sunrise or sunset in this exotic Talise Beach. Until tomorrow, with other interesting topic, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the National Social Solidarity Day, so stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Social Day or National Social Solidarity Day is celebrated on December the 20th every year as a sense of gratitude and respect for the success of all the people of Indonesia in facing the threat of other nations who wish to recolonize the country. The National Social Solidarity Day commemoration is an effort to remember, appreciate, and emulate the spirit of unity, integrity, mutual cooperation and familial of Indonesian people who were hand-in-hand maintaining national sovereignty over the occupied city of Yogyakarta as the capital city of the Republic of Indonesia by the Dutch in 1948. Social Minister Hovifah Indar Parawansa said the meaning of the National Social Solidarity Day is to revive the social solidarity. She said the value of mutual cooperation is a characteristic of Indonesian people which has begun to erode. Therefore, it needs revitalization of values such as a sense of social solidarity and the values of social responsibility. On her visit to Muara Enim in South Sumatra in connection with the National Social Solidarity Day 2015, the minister donated hearing aids, eyeglasses, canes, marriage certificate, and birth certificate. Minister Hovifah explained that seeing from historical point of view, there are heroic value related to the day. At that time, Indonesian First President Bung Karno and Vice President Bung Hatta were detained by the Dutch. In spite of this, they wanted the fight for Indonesian independence to continue. General Sudirman and his troops then did as the President and Vice President wished with guerrilla warfare. At that time, they were helped by the people who gave them shelters, hiding place with some food. the spirit of solidarity based on the desire to live an independent country was really touching. Social Solidarity Day is celebrated in every region in Indonesia with various social activities. This year, the peak of the celebration was held in Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara Province on December 20, 2015, attended by President Joko Widodo and Cabinet Ministers. Among other, Minister for Human Development and Culture, Minister of Social Affairs, Minister of Public Works and Housing, Minister of Women Empowerment and Child Protection, and also Minister of Industry. On the occasion, the Minister of Social Affairs conducted a number of activities, among others, presenting marriage certificates for hundreds of couples who married under custom law without formal certificate. They came from 22 districts or municipalities in the province. In addition, the peak of 2015 Social Solidarity Day, there are also activities like inspecting 120 houses for the poor in Naimata Village. They also received assistance from the Ministry of Social Affairs as a stimulant. The minister also opened a water supply network built by the Ministry of Public Works, Public Housing in the village called Hua. Well, that was Miss Eleni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. In his email, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan takes much interest in our very informative and interesting programs and likes them very much. On the 22nd of October, he listened to our program at 100 hours to 200 hours UTC via live streaming. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast, and we hope that you are in good condition. We are glad because our information are useful for you. Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, keep listening and sending your reception report to our radio. Listener, now we will reply an email from Anatoly Klepov in Russia. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz at 1900 hours to 2000 hours UTC in English, and the SINPO was 545444. In his email, Mr. Anatoly Klepov said that he was enthusiastic in listening to shortwave stations, and he asked to send him our QSL card, pennants, stickers, and also information about our station. Hello, Mr. Anatoly Klepov. Thank you for your email, dated November 21st, 2015, and we are very glad to receive your reception reports in detail, so we will be able to know how our broadcast can be received in your country. As your request, we will send it as soon as possible, so please be patient to wait for it. Mr. Anatoly Klepov, we are waiting for your next email and also reception reports. Thank you very much. Well, listener, before we continue, we will play another beautiful song for our regular listeners wherever you are. Enjoy the song.
selamanya. Ku jaga cintaku hanya untukmu. Jangan pernah berubah untuk mencintaiku. Aku pun kan selalu setia, setia selamanya denganku.
Listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. And now we continue to reply an email from Patrick Travers in England. He was listening to our broadcast via the internet and the TuneIn application at 1300 hours UTC. Hello, Mr. Patrick Travers. Thank you for your email dated December 11, 2015. And also, thank you very much for your reception report of our broadcast, which is very detailed. Is it your first time to tune in our radio? How is your opinion about our program? So please give us suggestion or criticism for our improvement and listener satisfaction. Please keep listening to our broadcast and don't forget to send your reception report. Well, listener, those are the emails that we have received, but unfortunately we have to sign off. Actually, we have received many emails. But we appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or toenglish@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and also like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and The Voice of Indonesia. Or you can also follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia, @VoiIndonesia. You can also join our Instagram, Voice_of_Indonesia, Voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude listener's mailbag for this week, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in listener's mailbag. Bye-bye.
Andaikan saja kau mau mengerti tentang perasaanku selama ini, yang tak menginginkan kamu terus merasa hati dipenuhi. rasa curiga.
Coba kau pahami keadaanku, ku hanya menguji kesabaranmu. Ternyata kau telah salah menilaiku. Kau tinggalkanku untuk cinta yang baru.
Sesungguhnya aku tak rela melihat kau dengannya. Sungguh hati terluka.
Cukup puas kau buat diriku merasakan cemburu. Kembalilah padaku.
Bukan ku menarik ulur hatimu. Salahkah jika ku mengharapkanmu? Ku tahu hatimu hanya untukku. Kau bersamanya pelarian semata.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.